T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Darren Brown Hall joining us live this morning, Chief of Staff for Buffalo Public Schools. And we are ending the third week of school, the reopening. Had a few bumps, mainly with technology and connectivity issues. But Darren, how are things going now?
You know, things are going a lot better. So those few bumps, as you mentioned, were just over the first couple of days. But we got our students up and running on their technology. We've gotten great feedback from parents, great feedback from teachers as far as the structure of the learning, the synchronous and asynchronous learning days. So things are going a lot smoother. We are ending, as you said, our third week, and we're excited about that. And we just want to make sure that we get better each day so we can increase student achievement across the district.
You know, Darren, it's hard to believe it's been 3 weeks already at the end of this week. Moving forward now, you know, as we enter in now a month of being in school, where are discussions on returning to school buildings under some sort of a hybrid model, or just having, whether it's special education or younger students, return to buildings?
I'm so happy and so glad that you asked that, because Dr. Cass is going to be presenting at the October 7th Board of Education work session with some sort of timeline and discussion with the board of what that might look like. As you know, we have a health advisory panel. We have a medical director, so Dr. Cash will be consulting with them. We'll be looking at all of our data to see what type of gradual phase into a hybrid model we can expect in the district. But we will still give parents the option of having their students remain on complete remote learning for the first semester. So it's not an either or. You know, remote learning is going well for many students. And some parents, we have gotten feedback and letters that they want their kids in school. So Dr. Cash will be addressing that on October 7th with looking at what groups of students may be returning to the buildings first.
So we'll have much more information on that. That's October 7th, you mentioned, at that Board of Education work session. But I'm wondering if you can kind of fill us in on some of what goes into these decisions on that timeline of returning to school, because, you know, we talk to doctors just about every day here, and they say, you know, for the foreseeable future, in terms of the virus, not much is going to change. It's a low level of spread here in Western New York, you know, unless there's a widely available vaccine, which isn't going to happen for a while, that can kind of be expected to remain the picture here. So if it's not, you know, the virus changing, what else might change that would prompt a return to school?
Well, we have to also look at Buffalo specific, right? So I know we have the numbers for Western New York, the rate of infection and things like that, but we have to look at Buffalo specific, because we have had zip codes in Buffalo where the rate of infection is higher, and that's where our students are coming from. So we want to make sure that we're not creating any sort of spreading event in the school. On top of that, we have all the necessary PPE. We have the masks that are necessary. We have the disinfecting wipes, hundreds upon thousands of those, gallons and gallons of hand sanitizer. But we want to make sure, as I said, that the rate in Buffalo remains low so that we're comfortable having our students back into the schools. On top of that, we want to look at the ratio of students to teachers. We have teachers that have put in for accommodations because they have legitimate medical concerns. So we're looking at those numbers. We're looking at also the number of parents that will request for their kids to remain completely remote. That may increase the number of days we're able to have parents who have elected the hybrid model to return to school. So it's a complex puzzle and a lot that goes into that. and that's what we're going to be looking at. We are fortunate enough to have a very, very talented chief operating officer. Our school building custodians and our engineers have been making sure they're maintaining the cleanliness of the buildings. So we are good there, but we want to make sure everything is in place to have a safe environment for our students to return.
Now, the teachers union, Darren, lost a round in court yesterday over forcing teachers to report to classrooms twice a week. Have there been any positive cases with the staff that has been in the school buildings to this point?
Not to my knowledge. And unfortunately, I don't have access to that information right now, but not to my knowledge. I'm almost positive we have not had any cases of the staff members who have reported to the school building. I'm not sure about teachers who still remain home, because you may know that any student, any teacher that requested an accommodation, we kept them status quo teaching from home until we can evaluate their accommodation request. So I'm not sure, but staff that have reported to the school building, I am not aware of any cases that have come up. You know, I'm actually confident in saying we have not had any cases of our teaching staff that have been reporting to the school building.
Is that surprising to you at all?
No, it's really not surprising, because let's look at this, right? We have a limited number of people in the school building. Teachers are only required to report 2 days a week. Some have chosen to come in more. But teachers are able to enter the school building, go to their classroom. Their classroom is completely empty. They're able to maintain social distancing. We have the necessary PPE, as I explained. Once they're done doing their teaching duties, they exit the building back to their cars. So it's very limited interaction with anyone else while they're in the school building. But the good thing about it is that when students see their teachers teaching from the classroom, they're able to have a sense of ease about eventually returning to the classroom, you know? So, you know, it doesn't surprise me, because we have taken the necessary precautions. Our teachers are intelligent people. They know how to maintain social distancing. They've been doing it since March, you know? They have to go out grocery shopping. They have to do things for their family and their daily lives. So they know how to maintain social distancing, and they know how to follow the CDC guidelines. Our teachers are very capable of that.
Now, earlier this week, it was the deadline for school vaccinations. With students not in classrooms at this point, why is that being enforced?
That's being enforced because it's the law. So we did receive a letter from the New York State Department of Health explaining that whether students are hybrid learning or remote learning, that law is still in effect. They must have their vaccinations within the first 14 days of school. So it is our obligation as the school district to enforce that, and that's exactly what we are doing.
Well, with that being enforced, that means that students who are not up to date cannot participate in the remote learning. How many students does that affect?
Right now, you know, we are in a much better place than we were at the beginning of last year when we had to strictly enforce it. So at this point in time, we're a little below 3,000 students that have to still get vaccinations. But the parents are working tirelessly with the medical providers to get those students' vaccinations up to date. So we are working with the parents to make sure that they constantly stay online, trying to get appointments with their doctors, get on the cancellation list. So if you can't get an appointment for a couple of weeks, ask the health professionals to be put on the cancellation list. So if there is a cancellation, they will call you, and they can then get your child in for their necessary vaccinations and immunizations.
We're talking with Chief of Staff for the Buffalo Public School District, Darren Brown Hall. We know there was a meeting last night with parents talking about the new curriculum, a Black Lives Matter-based curriculum that's being taught in some grades throughout the district. How do you assure parents that, you know, these are conversations that there's no avoiding in a classroom setting, but some of the aspects of the curriculum that parents think might be better done just simply within the classroom? How do you respond to those concerns, and is there any talk of maybe modifying some of the things within that curriculum?
It's a very strong curriculum. What we can't do is forget everything that's happened over the summer and everything that's currently happening, right? We just got the decision about the killing and the Breonna Taylor case. These are conversations we have with our students, and it's very, very important that our students know correct history, correct curriculum about the Black and brown people that have influenced the United States as it is. So there may be parents that say, you know, I prefer to teach my kids these things at home, and that's completely fine. We ask that you please supplement. We always ask that you supplement the education students are getting in the school with your knowledge and your history and your family traditions at home. But again, this is not, you know, when we say the Black Lives Matter curriculum, we want to make sure parents know what it is and what it is not. And that's why Dr. Fatima Morrell, our associate superintendent of CLRI, held that town hall meeting with the Parent Congress and all of our parents last night to really explain to them how empowering this is for the students in the city of Buffalo to really know their history, know that they came from, you know, the kings and queens and all the contributions that Black and brown people have had in the United States. That's what we want to make sure we get across. And for our older students, it's important that students feel comfortable having the necessary conversations with their teachers about what they're seeing when they turn on the TV and when they walk out of their doors each and every day, because our students in the city of Buffalo are living this.
I think the main thing that caused controversy was some of the things in the curriculum that people look at and say, well, hold on, are we saying that families aren't important? You know, exploring society without a nuclear family unit. And people would look at that and even ask, well, what does this have to do with Black Lives Matter, and why is this being taught in school?
Right. And it really is to show an appreciation for all different types of families. You know, every family is unique. Every family looks different. And it's really an appreciation for all families that make up our community. So we want to make sure that every family is represented, every family is appreciated, so that students can see themselves in the curriculum. We know that students learn better when they see themselves in the curriculum. So we want to make sure we have an appreciation for all families, all students, and realize that families look different everywhere you go.
How much of the curriculum or the school day is devoted to this curriculum, and is it for every grade level?
It is. And that it was only for the first beginning weeks of school. There were 10 lessons. It was only for the first beginning weeks of school. That along with our social-emotional learning, right, because we want to make sure that students are in a great mindset so they can really dig into their academics. And the state education department asked that we focus on social-emotional learning when we started school. So we did that, and we coupled it with our really emancipation curriculum so that students have a very good sense of grounding and who they are, and they know that they're supported socially and emotionally by all of their teachers, all of their school communities, and their entire village.
Hey, Darren, thank you so much for spending the time with us this morning. I know you're a busy guy, especially with everything going on in the school year this year. That's Darren Brown Hall. He's chief of staff for the Buffalo Public School District.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.